This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you, Randy, and good morning. Taking a look at your grain futures from the Chicago Board of Trade from the close yesterday, Monday, July corn was to 454 and three quarters, up 1 3/4. September corn was to 461 and a half, up 3 1/4. And December corn was to 468 and a half, up 5. July soybeans Monday finished at 9.12 3/4, up 16. August beans were to 9.19 1/4, up 16 1/4. And September soybeans Monday finished at 9.26 1/4, up 16 1/4. Chicago wheat for July was to 5.39 1/2, up 1 penny yesterday. September wheat was to 5.42 3/4, up 3/4. And December wheat was to 5.54, also up 3/4. July soybean meal yesterday finished at 3.24.30, up 80 cents. August bean meal was to 3.25.70, up a dollar. And September bean meal was to 3.27.60, up 120. Finally, soybean oil for July finished at 28.14, up 53 cents yesterday. August bean oil was at 28.28, up 51. And September bean oil finished at 28.40, up 49. Now we'll take you to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Monday's Cash Grain Report.
This is Monday's report of grain price and trends prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois cut grain price for higher on Monday afternoon, more rain and more weather premium. And in northern West Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 4 to 5 cents at 415 to 445. Soybean bids are up 16 to 19 cents at 833 to 877. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 2 to 3 cents at 429 to 455. Soybean bids are 16 cents higher at 855 to 893. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids are up 2 to 4, 423 to 470. Soybean bids are 16 to 17 cents higher at 857 to 903. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids are 16 cents higher at 895 to 918, basis is steady at 18 under to 5 over the July. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis offered at 312.30 to 332.30 a ton, up 80 cents a ton, with basis unchanged at 12 under to 8 over the July. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were 2 cents higher at 453 to 469, with basis steady at 2 under to 14 over the July. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted the producer corn bids 2 to 3 higher at 439 to 455, with basis unchanged up 1 at 16 under to option to July. Soybeans ended up 17 to 18 cents at 889 to 896, with basis up 1 to 2 at 24 under to 17 under the July. New crop wheat prices are 1 to 16 cents higher at 5 1/4 to 540, with basis unchanged up 15 to 15 under to option to July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators place their producer corn bids 3 to 5 higher, 472 to 473. These elevators raise their soybean prices 15 to 17 cents. Quotations at 918 and 920. Soft wheat closed up a penny at 575 to 576. Milo ended the day 2 cents higher at 480 to 491. Contract bids producers for October and November delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 420 to 441. Soybeans at 859 to 885. In the central part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 435 to 449. Soybeans at 876 to 910. And in the southern part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 420 to 459. Soybeans at 872 to 903. And June, July wheat at 519 to 559. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Taking a look at your livestock futures from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, live cattle for June finished at 109.45 yesterday, up 67. August live cattle finished at 105.62, up $1.35. And October live cattle were to 106.70, up $1.22. Feeder cattle for August on Monday finished at 136.92, up $1.40. September feeders were to 137.17, up $1.37. And October feeders finished at 137.15, up $1.40. Finally, June lean hogs or July lean hogs, rather, finished at 83.05, up $1.70. August lean hogs finished at 82.25, up $1.62. And October lean hogs were at 76.77, up $1.67. Now we'll take you to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield once more for yesterday's cash livestock report.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with one day afternoon livestock report. Starting in the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations are 200-pound pork carcass traded 29 cents higher, in a range of $67 to $78, with a weighted average carcass price of $76. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sow price was steady, with light to moderate demand for heavy offerings. U.S. 1 to 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded 26 to 33, 4 to 5 weighted 28 to 35, 5 to 6 weighted 30 to 37, and over 600 pounds, $32 to $40. On the Illinois direct hog trade, prices of barrels and gilts country buying points were steady, with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $47 to $51. Receipts for our Illinois barrels and gilts have totaled $20,880. In the direct cattle trade, the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, choice steers live basis traded at $112.50 to $115. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 295 loads traded. Calculations are 200-pound pork carcass is $82.97, which is 24 cents lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses are trading lower. Choice carcasses are $221.82, which is 41 cents lower, while select carcasses are $202.51, which is a quarter lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated 120,000 compared to 121,000 last week, 116,000 one year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated 467,000 compared to 471,000 last week and 416,000 one year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Taking a look at your national ag news on this Tuesday morning, the U.S. House plans to vote soon on a large package of spending bills, including the fiscal 2020 Agricultural Appropriations Bill. The House Appropriations Committee recently sent the Ag Spending Bill to the full House on a party-line vote. House Ag Appropriations Subcommittee Chair Sanford Bishop on the bill's $24.3 billion in discretionary spending.
The bill provides nearly $4 billion for rural development programs, including $680 million for broadband programs to continue bridging the digital divide between urban and rural America. During a time of great uncertainty due to tariffs and natural disasters, this bill provides $1.8 billion for farm programs, including $30 million to assist the implementation of the 2018 Farm Bill.
The bill includes $38 billion for rural housing and water utilities, $3.3 billion for ag research, $829 million for the Natural Resources Conservation Service, full SNAP and WIC funding, and the same for international feeding programs. The proposal, meantime, prevents closing of county FSA offices and takes a swipe at a controversial USDA agency relocation effort to Kansas City.
It prohibits the use of funds for any relocation costs associated with the Economic Research Service and the National Institute of Food and Agriculture.
But top panel Republican Jeff Fortenberry praised Bishop for his largely bipartisan approach to the bill, including with $680 million for broadband development.
It is very important that we measure the impact of broadband out as to how it affects the ecosystem of livability. It's not just more wires, but livability, from enhanced telehealth, telecommuting, and precision agriculture, as well as other applications.
But the two parties parted company on USDA efforts to modernize hog slaughter inspection. Democrats seeking review of data behind the proposal and on the bill's busting spending caps 4% above existing spending. The House could vote by Friday or next week on the bill. The Senate has yet to advance its own ag spending bill for fiscal year 2020. U.S. Senator Chuck Grassley says it's time for long-term solutions to prevent flooding along the Missouri River. Many reaches of the Missouri River below Gavin's Point Dam have experienced flooding since early March. President Trump recently authorized billions of dollars in disaster relief for flood victims in a disaster aid package passed by Congress. Meanwhile, in a Omaha World Herald editorial, Senator Grassley says it's time to change how the Missouri River is operated. Grassley says changes need to be made to the Army Corps of Engineers Master Manual, which the Corps follows in managing the river. From 1979 until changes in 2004, the Master Manual stated the top priority was flood control. Changes to the manual since 2004 requires the Corps to balance the purposes of the river. Since then, Grassley contends there has been a dramatic increase in flooding. Grassley has co-sponsored the Army Corps of Engineers Flood Control Civilian Advisory Council Act, which would advise the Corps and Congress on river management changes. Also going on in the Midwest, former Ag Secretary and former Governor of Iowa Tom Vilsack was in Urbandale, Iowa Monday to discuss the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement that replaces NAFTA. Vilsack says the USMCA is not about a victory for one side of the aisle or the other, or a victory for the White House. It's about securing a victory for the American farmer.
It's important for us to continue to open up lines of opportunity in trade with the rest of the world. That's going to help our farmers. It's going to help all those whose jobs are related. Export-related jobs, there are millions of them. Sometimes people forget the fact that agriculture and the food and agriculture industry employs directly or indirectly 43 million people, 28% of the workforce of the United States. So anything that impacts farm income, impacts the ability to sell product overseas or domestically, impacts jobs.
Vilsack says we are not just exporting agricultural goods, we are also trying to export the American brand of achievement and productivity.
It's also, I think, about making sure that people understand that when we export American agriculture, we're also exporting the American brand of achievement, of productivity, our way of doing business. And I think that's incredibly important because we're now engaged in a competition with our Chinese friends over which style of government, which kind of economy will work best in the 21st century, and I think our ability to export American agricultural products makes the case that the American way, the democratic way, the free marketplace way is the way to go.
Vilsack says when you're looking at trade agreements, which are hundreds or even thousands of pages long, it's easy to find a couple things you aren't happy with. The key is looking at the positives you are getting out of the agreement as a whole and weigh it against a few things you do not like.
Look, trade agreements are tough. They're always tough. They're hundreds of pages or thousands of pages long. There's a lot of things that you can like about something. There are a few things you might not like about it. So it's easy to pick out the things you don't like. So it's important, I think, for people to look at the totality of this. This is better than NAFTA. Certainly for American agriculture, it's better than NAFTA. For the dairy industry in particular that I'm associated with, it's about a $220 million impact to the positive. An additional $220 million of sales can take place annually to our Canadian friends with this agreement ratified. So it's important for the dairy industry, it's important for the beef industry, it's important for all of American agriculture.
Vilsack is seeing a lot of potential energy in our myriad of trade negotiations. What he'd like to see now is some kinetic energy to get the first domino to fall.
Trade is all about momentum. And at this point in time, there are many opportunities for momentum and many opportunities for things to stall. With the USMCA passage, it creates momentum and a sense of hopefulness out in the countryside. It creates the opportunity for the administration to focus on completing an agreement with Japan, which would be also incredibly important to American agriculture, and then perhaps being able then to focus on China. But you got to build momentum. You got to build success so that success builds and breeds success. Right now we're kind of stalled on a lot of these issues. Hopefully we get USMCA passed in 2019.
Vilsack feels the agreement has enough support to pass the Congress. It just needs to be sent up from the White House. Also in National Ag News, U.S. farmers this year may not plant roughly 8 million acres due to wet conditions. Industry analysts polled by Bloomberg News say farmers are expected to forego planting on 2.2 million acres of soybeans and 6.7 million acres of corn. The Midwest is facing another 7-day forecast of nearly daily rain chances, continuing the wettest 12-month period on record. For soybeans, the 2.2 million unplanted acres are just below a 2.2 million acre record set in 2015. Last week, the Department of Agriculture cut its corn planting and production forecast, but made no changes to soybeans, making note that there are still some windows of opportunity to plant beans. Monday, the USDA Weekly Crop Progress Report showed farmers had planted an estimated 83% of corn and 60% of soybeans this spring. The USDA reports that 62% of corn and 34% of soybeans have emerged to this point. For this time of year, the five-year average shows corn plantings are usually finished, with 93% of soybeans planted by this time annually. And now taking a look at the state crop progress and condition report, we turn it over to Mark Sloysener with the National Ag Statistics Service in Springfield.
Illinois weather was cooler than normal and dry enough for field work until near the end of the week. Overall, the state average temperature was nearly 6 degrees below normal. Rainfall ranged from just over 1/2 inch to more than 2 inches around the state, and the state average was almost 1.5 inches of rain, which is 1/2 inch above normal. There was an average of 4.8 days suitable for field work around Illinois. Topsoil moisture levels declined and are now rated 2% short, 62% adequate, and 36% surplus. Corn planting is nearly finished at 88% compared to 100% for the five-year average. 74% of corn acres have emerged compared to 99% normally. The condition of the Illinois corn crop was rated as 15% very poor to poor, 34% fair, and 51% good to excellent, which is a little better than 1 week ago. Soybean planting is now 70% finished compared to 95% normally. 50% of soybean acres have emerged compared to 88% normally. Turning now to winter wheat, 97% of acres have headed compared to 100% normally. 6% of acres have been harvested compared to 26% 1 year ago and 21% for the five-year average. The condition of the Illinois wheat crop improved a little and was rated as 22% very poor to poor, 45% fair, and 33% good to excellent. The first cutting of alfalfa hay is now 73% finished. That compares to 89% normally. Other hay harvest is 61% finished compared to 82% normally. Pasture conditions were rated 7% very poor to poor, 23% fair, and 70% good to excellent, which is a little worse than 1 week ago. This has been Mark Sloysener with the Heartland Region, Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
Moving on to local ag news, this past Saturday was the Greene County 4-H Livestock Fair held at the Greene County Fairgrounds in Carrollton. For 3 years now, CHS in Carrollton has played a role in the event, and to explain that role is location manager Brian McMurtry.
This is, I believe, our third year out here to support the 4-H community and the participants and their family. Serve a good hot breakfast for them this morning while they're out here getting all their animals ready to show today and everything. And, you know, kind of our way of just saying thanks, you know, for everything, giving them a good hot breakfast. We give all the kids buckets and gloves and whatever we can to help support them out here.
And as you said, this is all free for them just by showing up to show this morning.
Absolutely. It's not only for the participants, but it's for their families, too, because it takes a lot from the parents to get their kids up at 5 o'clock in the morning to come out here and get the animals ready. So we're here for them, too.
McMurtry also gave a crop update for Greene and western Macoupin counties.
We're fortunate to have a couple breaks in weather and be able to get a few more crops stuck in the ground over here than in some areas. We're still lagging behind. It's been quite the spring. But yeah, we've still got some corn to poke through the ground yet, but I'd say pretty much all corn planting's done over here. We've still got some beans to go yet, but we've got some time left, just we need another break from Mother Nature.
And kind of on the standpoint with all the rain, on an agronomic standpoint, that has to mean that there'll be probably issues with fungicides this year.
Yeah, I would say this year fungicide applications are going to be maybe non-existent just because such a late crop come in and everything everybody else is worried about. The yields just aren't going to be there. I don't feel that they have in the years past because it's such a late crop.
And that would have to come to that economic threshold. If you're not going to come out with a yield, then why put all the money into the crop?
That's correct. That's where we're kind of thinking it's going to go. Yields being down, there won't be any extra money thrown into these crops at the tail end. So I'd say the fungicide applications will be minimal.
And now that we're coming into June, wheat harvest's coming around, double crop beans. Are you seeing possibly a more uptick in double crop beans, or are those folks going to kind of leave that land lay this summer?
Well, because of the fall that we had last year in this Greene County area here, there is very minimal wheat to begin with. What wheat there is almost ready. If we can get in the fields here next week, it'll probably be cut. If we can do that, they probably still will throw some double crops in there. But if it gets pushed back too much further, that land may lay too, and double crops might not get put in.
And since Greene County borders the Illinois River to the east, and, of course, the big situation with the river, I bet that whole area hasn't even had any thought of getting anything done this year.
Yeah, it's really been a struggle over here at the Illinois River. You know, we're split up into different levee districts. Fortunately, the levee district that we're right adjacent to, levee did not bust, but you go south one district and north one district, and the levees did go on them. So that ground is still underwater. There is some crops in our bottoms down here directly adjacent to Greene County, but it is very wet, and it's going to be a struggle this year for them crops to produce.
And kind of taking a look more towards harvest, probably early to do a yield kind of thought, but in this area, is there going to be kind of the average yield, or do you think it's going to be 10, 15 bushels below average?
We were actually just talking about this the other day, and we're thinking corn bushels might be down, you know, 20 bushel. Beans might be down 20 bushel. But what we're mainly worried about is such a late crop coming out and taking out and harvest late, it's going to be a wet crop coming out. So we're trying to gear up already right now and be prepared for a wet crop to come out this year.
And again, that was Brian McMurtry of CHS in Carrollton. And taking a look at events coming up this week, the 34th annual Montgomery County Fair begins tomorrow at Butler. Tomorrow, Wednesday, the Sheep Show starts things off at 9 a.m., followed by the Goat Show at noon at the 4-H Park. Then tomorrow evening, the opening ceremonies will begin at 7, followed by the Queen Pageant at 7:30. Grandstand admission to see all that is $5. On Thursday, the Beef Show starts things off at 9 a.m. at the 4-H Park. That evening will be the karaoke contest at 7, featuring kids, teens, and adults in the Expo Building. That is free with your $5 gate admission. Friday, the Swine Show starts things off at 9 a.m. in the 4-H Park, and that evening is the motocross and quad racing at 7:30. Grandstand is $5, and pit pass is $10. Saturday, the carnival matinee is from 1 to 3 in the afternoon. Come out and enjoy your favorite carnival rides free with your $5 gate admission. That evening, Saturday, will be the Power Wheels demo at 7 and the Car Demolition Derby at 7:30. Grandstand admission is $10 for adults, $5 for kids, and $20 for a pit pass. And finally, Sunday, the 23rd, will be the tractor pulls at noon. Truck pulls to begin around 3 o'clock or after tractor pulls are over with. Grandstand admission is $5. Pit passes are $15. And remember, the free carnival rides by Banner Amusements are 6 p.m. to close every evening, and the Saturday matinee from 1 to 3 in the afternoon, and all those rides are free with your $5 gate admission. And that includes free parking as well. So come on out to the 34th Annual Montgomery County Fair being held tomorrow through Sunday at the fairgrounds in Butler. And for this Tuesday morning, June 18th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.